Outreach Mass, bringing Christ to mid-Michigan for 40 years.
Welcome to the Outreach Mass. Oh my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Welcome to all on the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Welcome to also to all who are watching and listening from your homes. Thank you for worshiping with us today. For those who are unable to receive Jesus in Holy Communion today, let us pray an act of spiritual communion and ask for the graces of the Most Holy Eucharist. O Jesus, I believe that you are in the Blessed Sacrament. I love you above all things, and I long for you in my soul. Since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. As though you are already come, I embrace you and unite myself entirely to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen. Our presider for this liturgy is Father Gordon. This Mass is being offered for Doyle Strapazon.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Today we hear the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus, the ultimate Good Samaritan, the ultimate foreigner who comes to us in our need, even though we might perceive him as an enemy, and sin does make us enemies of God, and yet he shows mercy and goes the extra mile for a total stranger. And that is what the Lord does for us as he comes to us as Savior, to bring us the healing we need. Let us empty our hearts of the things of this world. Let us invite that healing. Let us call upon God's mercy. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do, through my fault, Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you. We give you thanks for your great glory. Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world. Receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father.
Let us pray. O God, who show the light of your truth to those who go astray, so that they may return to the right path, give all who for the faith they profess are accounted Christians the grace to reject whatever is contrary to the name of Christ and to strive after all that does it honor. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "If only you would heed the voice of your Lord, our God, and keep his commandments and statutes that are written in this book of the law, when you return to the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. For this command that I enjoin on you today is not too mysterious and remote for you. It is not up in the sky that you should say, who will go up in the sky to get it for us and tell us of it, that we may carry it out. Nor is it across the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea to get it for us and tell us of it, that we may carry it out. No, it is something very near to you, already in your mouths and in your hearts. You have only to carry it out. The word of the Lord.
Of the Lord are right, they gladden the heart. The command of the Lord is clear, it gives light to the eyes. Your words, Lord, are spirit and life. Your words spirit and life. The fear of the Lord is pure, abiding forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are all of them just. Desired than gold, than quantities of gold, and sweeter are they than honey flowing from the comb. Your words, Lord, are spirit and life. Your words are spirit and life.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him were created all things in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he himself might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things for him, making peace by the blood of his cross through him, whether those on earth or those in heaven. The word of the Lord.
Be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place. When he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on the way back.' Which of these 3, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord.
To be honest, the simplest questions are often the most difficult, and it seems to go similarly that the simplest commandments can be also the most difficult. We are created in the image and likeness of a God of love. That is our most divine attribute, our capacity to know and to choose to love. And yet, as appropriate it is that God should be first above all things, even above our own life itself, that
very simple command to love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, that's a challenge. Sure, yes, we love God, but we also love a lot of things. And to love God above all else, isn't that the great struggle of a life that we have to continually be working on? Because you really can't love deeply someone that you don't know. Oh, sure, we've had crushes. Maybe you remember as a teenager having certain posters on the wall, decorating your room, the crushes, the idols of TV or movie fame or a rock star. But you don't really know them, and so you really don't love them deeply. It's a superficial crush. How do we get to know and love the Lord? To really love God above all things. It's kind of painful to realize that we spend so much time with just about everything else than with the Lord. And I think especially in this day and age, which is so distracted, we have so much time spent on our devices. And of course, your smartphone will tell you how much time you've spent with it each day. That's kind of an off-putting statistic. Compare how much time you've spent with your phone in a given day versus how much time you've spent with the Lord in a week. See what that discrepancy is. Even in terms of our involvement in God's ministry and our availability to it, right? Even in terms of just commitment to it, in terms of what we spend on. Think of how much we spend as Americans. If you add up each month, your internet bill, your cell phone bills, your cable bill, put all that together in a month and see how much of your paycheck goes to being connected, and then compare that to how much actually goes into your connection to the ministry of Christ, Catholic charities, missionary groups, your parish, your diocesan services appeal, whatever that is. That can be a discrepancy too. Oftentimes the realization is we're not there yet, but the real question is, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. This is a work of a lifetime. The real question is, what are we doing to fill the gap? What are we doing to correct it? And yes, we are there to know God and to love God and to serve God, but as I said, it's really hard to love somebody well when we don't know them. And certainly if we don't know God's commandment very well, we're not going to serve God as God wishes to be served. So the simplest thing is, what am I doing to get to know God a little better each day? That's a great place to start, and especially as it's summer. It's vacation time. It's time to know God a little bit better. What are we doing? Maybe a little extra prayer time. Maybe it's the experiential knowledge of knowing God's mercy in the sacrament of confession. Time to get back into the box. Maybe it's breaking open the scriptures. Maybe it's breaking open the catechism because we were trained in religious ed or in school when we were in our wee years. And it's good to kind of refresh our memory of the church's knowledge and experience and teachings over 2,000 years. Personally, I like to break open the writings of the saints. If we're called to be a saint, learn from the best. Who's your patron saint? Have you read your patron saint? If your patron saint has an autobiography or writings, get to know that. Personally, as we're now in the summer months, and the summer month of June is dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and the month of July, appropriately, is dedicated to the most precious blood of Jesus, the precious blood of mercy, which flows from the pierced heart of Jesus, wounded for love of us. I recommend getting to know the Sacred Heart and the precious blood of Jesus. There's all sorts of writings. Saints have reflected on these mysteries of grace and salvation over the centuries. And there's something special about knowing or trying to know how God loves us. It's one thing to try to love God, but sometimes when we try to know God and love God through God's commandments, that can feel like a burden. And when we feel like there's a burden upon us, then we feel resentful, and that doesn't always make us want to love God more, right? That feels like we're encumbered. Personally, I have to say that the time that I've spent coming to know more, the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Precious Blood, and this is going back when I really spent time reading the saints on these devotions, goes back 30-some years. I have to say that was such a game changer because I was starting to hear of God's love for me. And that made my love for God, as a small reflection, grow so much more. Because it's so easy to keep God at arm's length. I even know this as clergy, right? Because sometimes it's easier to have a work relationship with somebody than a personal friendship with somebody. You've all seen those little bumper stickers, "My boss is a Jewish carpenter." It's kind of a subtle way to say you're a Christian. It's easier sometimes to have a work relationship. Just tell me what you want to do. But to really be vulnerable to somebody, to give your heart to somebody, it's a little more dicey. It's a little more dangerous. It's a little more vulnerable. And sometimes we want to keep God at arm's length. And frankly, we see it even in the saints. We see it in St. Peter. Remember, also in Luke's gospel, when Jesus surprises St. Peter, the apostle, with that miraculous catch of fish, and what does Peter do? He drops to his knees and says, "Depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. You don't want me. You don't know who I am." And Jesus is like, "Oh no, I totally want you. I'm going to make you a fisher of men." Why? Because you really can't become a disciple until you know your woundedness, until you grow in humility and know your brokenness and know that you can't do it alone and you need a Savior. And Peter learns a further lesson, right? Remember at the Last Supper, Jesus starts washing the feet of the apostles. This is something your rabbi, your master would never do. And Peter takes umbrage, like, "Oh no, you are never going to wash my feet." And Jesus once again at Peter, "If I don't wash you, you can have no part in me." And again, Peter immediately relents, "Fine, wash me from head to toe." "No, just the feet." But if you don't let the Lord show you mercy, if you don't let the Lord heal you, what witness do you have? How are you going to witness to others of the mercy and the love and the grace of God if you don't present your brokenness to the Lord and let God touch you and forgive your sins and heal you? If you keep the Lord at arm's length, don't let God forgive you. Don't let God love you. Don't let God be close to you. What kind of witness do you have to give to anybody else? What kind of discipleship is that? Peter had to learn that lesson too. It's humbling, but Peter did have to learn that lesson too. We all have to learn that lesson. The more I spent time reading about the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and I've read the autobiography of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, who's that French visitation nun of the 1600s, the reason we have the Feast of the Sacred Heart on the calendar each June. The more I read about Jesus' infinite love for us, the more I fell in love with the Heart of Jesus. Because like St. Peter, I'm thinking, why would Jesus want to love me? I'm a sinner. Why would Jesus, who is infinite and is perfect, have a place in his kingdom for me? And was it Groucho Marx who had that famous line, right? "I would never want to belong to a group that would let me be a member." That's a beautiful line of humility, right? If they would take me as a member, why would I belong to that group? That tells you right there. Our church is a field hospital for sinners. Our church is there precisely as a salvation religion. We're not coming because we've got it together. We're coming because we need to know the mercy of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the precious blood of Jesus washing away our sins, this lifeblood of souls. The more you get to know the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the more you get to know the blood of Jesus, the more you just can't help but to love the Lord. It took me a whole year at least. I plowed through the diary of Saint Faustina, who's the reason we have the Divine Mercy devotion. And again, I was struck by Jesus talking about his love for sinners, the worst of us, how much he wanted to take away our sins, how much he wanted to show his love for us, how our heart ached for sinners. And the worse sinner you are, the more he wanted to heal you. And that his ocean, that his divine mercy was an ocean. His blood was an ocean of mercy. And he just wanted to pour that ocean upon us. And you know how water is. Water, if you pour it into a hole, it, by gravity, goes to the lowest spot. It goes to the emptiness. It fills the emptiness from the lowest point up. If you're going to fill a hole, it goes to the lowest spot, and it just fills up from there. And Jesus was yearning to heal us. And I read about Jesus talking to Saint Faustina, saying, you know, when people choose against my mercy, it breaks my heart because I died for them, and they still refuse to let me heal them. And he has to watch souls choose their destruction when he's provided every conceivable grace to heal them, to forgive them, to call them to eternal life, and they still choose against him. Why? Because they do not trust him. Jesus wants us to trust his love, to trust his mercy. He wants us to get to know his mercy so that we will trust and love him. That's the reason the saying at the bottom of the Divine Mercy icon, which is there to this side of church, says, Jesus, I trust in you. He wants us to know him. So if I can recommend one simple thing this summer, in this beautiful time of the Sacred Heart and the precious blood of Jesus, before we can grow in our love of God, before we can grow and perfect our service of God, look at the simple things. What are little things that we can do to know God just a little better, to know his love for us, to know his commandments, to know his teachings, to know how the saints have drawn closer to the Lord over the years, and to learn from their good example? Think about that. So one little thing, one or two. Actually, two or three things would be preferable to one thing, but you decide. What's the little thing that we can do to know the Lord a little better? And I think you're going to find that the love of God, the service of God, will flow from there much more naturally. Because again, at the end of the day, it's hard to love someone you really don't know that well. Don't keep Jesus at arm's length, even because of your sins. Let him in, for he is a merciful Savior. Let us stand and profess our faith. We profess, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living.
The Lord invites us to bring our needs before Him with confidence and trust.
For our Holy Father, may the Lord help him fulfill his vocation faithfully. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For leaders, may the example of the Good Samaritan inspire all in authority to treat others with compassion, especially those most vulnerable. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For this community of faith, may the Lord bless all in their vocations to the priesthood, consecrated life, and the sacrament of marriage. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who are sick in mind, body, or spirit, may they come to know the healing presence of the Lord in their lives, especially Carla Barnes, Carol, Father John Fain, our television, radio, and online community, and those listed in our book of prayer. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who have died in the light of faith, may the Lord in His mercy welcome them into the heavenly kingdom, especially Melissa Pollock, Sue Ellen Pearl, and all the holy souls in purgatory. Let us pray to the Lord. And for Bishop Carl Frederick Mengeling, who boldly proclaimed the gospel that he may rejoice forever in heaven, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Eternal Father, we ask you to hear our prayers and to grant them according to your most holy will, through Christ our Lord. Stand and pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Look upon the offerings of the church, O Lord, as she makes her prayer to you, and grant that when consumed by those who believe, they may bring ever greater holiness through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Amen.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift up our hearts.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, for you laid the foundations of the world and have arranged the changing of times and seasons. You formed man in your own image and set humanity over the whole world in all of its wonder, to rule in your name over all you have made and forever praise you in your mighty works. Through Christ our Lord, and so with all the angels we praise you, as in joyful celebration we acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, O Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and the working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice and giving you thanks, he said the blessing and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim, by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we, who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit, may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, with all of the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May the sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and the salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, your servant, Leo our Pope, and Earl our Bishop, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family, whom you have summoned before you in your compassion, O merciful Father. Gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good. Through him and with him and in him, O God, almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day Lord, we pray, from every evil, graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For
the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now
and forever. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Lamb of God, you take away.
Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord,
true communion, let us gather. May all division cease, and in their place be Christ the Lord, our risen Prince of Peace. Ubi caritas est vera, est vera, Deus ibi est, Deus ibi est.
And let us pray. Having consumed these gifts, we pray, O Lord, that by our participation in this mystery, its saving effects upon us may grow. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless and keep you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace.
Let us send forth the number 832. In Christ there is no east or west. 832.
Thank you for joining us today for the Outreach Mass. I'm Father Gordon Riegel. Whether or not you are comfortable sharing the faith with others, when you support the Outreach Mass as a disciple, you are sharing the good news with thousands of viewers across Michigan. Please help us to keep the Outreach Mass on the air. You may send donations to Outreach Mass, 955 Alton Road, East Lansing, Michigan, 48823. Thank you for being part of our worshiping community and for sharing the faith. May God bless and keep you.